KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's partly cloudy and 28 degrees. We look for partly cloudy to cloudy skies today, a high around 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Elkhorn, see Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated, or call 712-764-6000. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers last night said two students had absconded from the Clarinda Academy and were traveling in an unknown direction. A search was underway. The teens were reported missing at around 8:30 p.m. One of the students is a 15-year-old white male, about 5 feet 9 inches tall, weighing 140 pounds with blonde hair. He also wears glasses. The second is a 17-year-old Native American male, about 5 feet 10 inches tall, 145 pounds with black hair. There's no clothing description available for that teen. Adair Guthrie County Emergency Management Director Robert Kemp on Monday said that as of 8 a.m. today, Adair and Guthrie County will be launching a new joint website, and that's Adair Guthrie County, COVID.org, as a resource for all of your COVID-19 questions. The site will be updated daily with most recent press releases, recommendations, screening questions if you're sick, as well as links to other reliable resources to help you answer your questions. Guthrie County Public Health Director Jotham Arbor said, "In a time of uncertainty, social media becomes a platform for rumors and misinformation. We are aware of misinformation about COVID-19, both locally, across Iowa, and nationally. It's important for Adair and Guthrie County residents to rely on trusted sources of information like the CDC, the IDPH, and our public health agency." Well, Governor Kim Reynolds says the state is taking steps to expand child care options and ensure low-income students can get school lunches even as schools in the state are closed due to the COVID-19 outbreak.
"And I think I'll state the obvious again. This is an unprecedented time for our state and our nation. We are monitoring the situation in real time and making evidence-based decisions to mitigate and slow the spread of the virus."
On Sunday, Reynolds recommended that Iowa schools close for 4 weeks. The USDA has given Iowa a waiver so schools can continue to provide meals to low-income students on a grab-and-go basis. Monday afternoon, legislative leaders had announced they plan to waive the requirement that Iowa schools reschedule canceled days between now and April the 12th. The governor said policymakers will reassess after that as school officials consider whether summer school may be required or whether members of the class of 2020 meet the requirements for high school graduation.
"But right now, this really gave them, I think, some relief that they were looking for, as they try to plan what their next steps are in educating Iowa students."
It was on Monday of last week that the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in Iowa. The governor announced late yesterday afternoon that a 23rd case had been confirmed in a resident from Dallas County.
"A second shift is being added to the state hygienic lab to expand our testing capabilities. Our daily capacity for running tests will now increase from 54 to 108 tests per day. When the situation warrants, we are ready at that point to add a third shift so we can run tests around the clock."
The state, she said earlier in the news conference, that cannot release any more specific details about the person now, including their age or where they were from specifically as far as the town is concerned because of the regulations. Reynolds said she hopes to get at least two of the drive-through testing sites up in Iowa, with priority given to first responders, healthcare workers, and Iowans above the age of 65. President Trump has urged governors around the country to try and secure more ventilators for hospitals that will be inundated with critical COVID cases. State officials say details about how many ventilators are in the state today is confidential. Reynolds says she's talked with private companies about getting more. Some other governors and big city mayors have ordered the closure of bars and restaurants. Reynolds is not taking that step, but she is encouraging Iowans to avoid crowds and stay home as much as possible.
"Practice social distancing, so don't cram yourself into some of those venues. You have a role to play in helping us mitigate the spread and to bend the curve. There'll be another St. Patty's Day next year."
The governor also urged Iowans not to hoard food or other products. She said the inmates in the state's prison systems will start making hand sanitizer. Also, on a COVID-19 note, the Iowa legislature last night, actually early this morning, suspended its 2020 session for at least 30 days and gave Governor Kim Reynolds new authority to use nearly $20 million from the state's Economic Emergency Fund to respond to the COVID-19 outbreak. Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer, a Republican from Ankeny, says suspending the legislature follows the advice of public health officials about avoiding large gatherings.
"We also think it's prudent at this time to pause our normal legislative business so that the governor, legislators, and government employees can focus exclusively on dealing with the coronavirus outbreak.
In addition, lawmakers voted to lift all limits and let the governor shift money around within the current state budget if needed.
We'll give the governor the authority to do what she needs to do while we're not in session to make sure that there's confidence that government will function appropriately during this time.
House Speaker Pat Grassley, a Republican from New Hartford, says as an added precaution, the plan sets aside enough money to keep the state government operating until September the 1st. Republicans and Democrats voted for the moves. Todd Pritchard of Charles City is the House Democratic leader.
We all can agree that we need to give the governor the powers to take decisive action.
If the governor decides more than $20 million is needed from the Economic Emergency Fund, Grassley says the 20-member legislative council made up of leaders will convene to approve that withdrawal. In our funeral announcement, Judith Kading, age 78, of Altoona, died December 10th at her home. Graveside services for Judith Kading will be today at 11 a.m. at the Oakwood Cemetery in Casey. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Roland Wegner, age 86, of Woodbine, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial for Roland Wegner will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Nellie Miller, age 93, of Greenfield, died Friday at Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Nellie Miller will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Margaret Kirtley, age 90, of Yale, died Thursday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Margaret Kirtley will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Colleen Morrison, age 64, who is formerly of Atlantic, died February 17th. A celebration of life for Colleen Morrison will be this Friday at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home of Messina has arrangements. Robert Bob G. Dixon, Jr., age 93, of Menlo, died March the 9th in Stewart. Funeral services for Bob Dixon, Jr. will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Francis Hansen, age 96, died Friday at the Heritage House of Atlantic. Graveside services for Francis Hansen will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Mabel Buboltz, age 97, of Walnut, died Sunday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Graveside memorial services for Mabel Buboltz will be June 14th at 2 o'clock at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Eleanor May Heminger, age 92, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility. Private graveside services for Eleanor Heminger will be held in the Silver City Cemetery at a later date. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Anita, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.